VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As always, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America as we pull together a number of stories, issues, guest topics to keep you informed on critical issues that are impacting us across this nation and around the world. And friends, as I was eyeing the stack of stories that Sandy was pulling together for our news roundup tomorrow, I said, there's no way we're going to get through all those stories and all those issues tomorrow. And I started scanning through the stories and say, you know what? I'm going to pull out a number of these, and I'm calling today's program simply one word title, outrageous. It is outrageous to see some of the matters that are taking place and going on in our society today. And so we're going to keep you informed on some of those stories that, is, in my opinion, are outrageous. We'll give you opportunity, Lord willing, later in the program to comment on these stories here today. We will have, Lord willing, our News Roundup program tomorrow here on the program. But some of these things, I just can't let them go by without bringing them to your attention, because they indeed are outrageous. I'm going to begin with a story that just came out this week from the Gateway Pundit. This is in Brevard Public Schools in Florida. Sophia Steele is 7 years old, has Down syndrome, has an enlarged tongue, which puts her at serious risk while wearing a mask. Her father, Dr. Jeffrey Steele, believes she was exempt from the school's mask mandate as she's been returning home without one. Well, one day the school forgot to remove it before sending her to her parents. The Federalist is reporting that officials at the school had been bullying Sophia to put on the mask for 6 weeks. Backed by Brevard Public Schools' illegal mask mandate, what's been pushed by Lightning Rod School Board member Jennifer Jenkins, a Democrat, school officials resorted to tying the mask to Sophia's face with rope. Folks, they tied it with rope, according to the story, after she rejected their efforts to affix the mask via the ear loops. Her family is pursuing legal action. Dr. Steele told the Federalist that medically, she could aspirate, she could asphyxiate, and all sorts of medical things could happen because of her breathing and her enlarged tongue. It could cause seizures. They added that criminal investigations are going on and announced that he's working on legislation to put the Brevard County School Board members who did this to Sophia in prison for a very long time. This is a story, folks, in which they have this special needs daughter and used rope to tie the mask on their nonverbal special needs daughter without their knowledge, without their consent. And according to the story, they used a nylon rope to do so. In my book, it is outrageous. That's not the only place where matters are going on. According to an article that just came out today from the Gateway Pundit as well, the parents of a 13-year-old student at a school in Beloit, Wisconsin, say that their special needs teacher taped a mask around the face on Tuesday, and the police are refusing to file charges. The teacher, I'm not going to mention this because there's no charges filed here at this point, previously had tried to force the 8th-grade student to wear a mask featuring a pride flag, but he refused. The teacher has Black Lives Matter and the far-left politics all over her profile on a pseudonym name used on Facebook. The father of the child, Brock Connor, told the Gateway Pundit that the most recent incident happened on Tuesday during his second period reading class. He sat down, was getting ready for the teacher to start class, and he had his mask pulled down, just exposing his nose. She told him to put his mask up and said he would in just a second because he was catching his breath. She asked him again to put it up, and he offered the same reply. Connor says the teacher then went and grabbed a roll of tape and started wrapping it around his son's head. My son says that she went around his head about 5 times with the tape. Another teacher was in the room when this happened, and she yelled at the other teacher, saying, "What are you doing? You can't do this to a student. This is wrong." However, the teacher did not succeed in stopping her colleague. At this point, Connor said that his son asked to leave the class to go call his parents, and he was refused. When he tried to get up and leave the class anyway, she locked the door and blocked his path. I never got a call, the parent said. I never got an email. Nothing from the school about this situation. I didn't find out until my son got home later that day. His son had ripped the tape off and still had red marks on the back of his neck when he got home, even though it happened early in the morning during second period. This was not the first time that the teacher had harassed his son during the school year, according to the parent. He wore a gaiter to school earlier in the year, and the teacher raised objection to. She pulled it off of him and claimed it was not up to the school's code and proceeded to tell him to put on a gay pride mask that she gave him. She told him that if he didn't wear it, he would have a detention, but he refused to wear it. He picked the mask up, walked to the trash, and threw it away. Connor never received a call from the school about that incident either, despite the fact that every time the teacher threatens to call his parents, he tells her to do it. Following the latest incident, Connor called Beloit Police Department to file a report and request charges against the teacher for assaulting his son. While Connor said that he wanted to press charges against the teacher for assault, the officer told him there was no criminal action that took place for him to arrest her. Outrageous. Taking tape and putting it five times around the back of the neck. And you can see through the photos there the redness on the neck after the tape came off. Again, in my book, folks, that's outrageous. Another outrageous story here today from the Western Journal. On October 11th, Dr. Jeffrey Horrock told the Fergus Falls School Board that parents, not school officials, should be in charge of deciding whether their children wear masks to school, according to Fox News. 9 days, this is a surgeon, folks. 9 days later, he was informed by the Lake Region Healthcare, a hospital in Fergus Falls, that he could either resign or be fired. At the meeting, the school board decided to put in place a mask mandate for elementary school students as a two-week experiment, according to KFGO-FM. He spoke out against the mandate. He said, I'm used to wearing masks. I'm not trying to do it while I'm running or playing in the gym or all that sort of stuff. These masks, you want to stop the virus. The example of it is like trying to stop a mosquito with a chain-link fence. Good luck, he said, according to KFGO-FM. 9 days later, 9 days later, he was dismissed from his job or told to resign. He said that his views were no longer congruent with that of Lake Region Healthcare, and he had had a choice to quit or to be fired. That is outrageous. Let's go to another doctor, Dr. Scott Jensen, the story on WND.com. Yeah, physician, state senator in Minnesota, running for governor, says his medical license has been investigated five times because of complaints against his positions on issues related to the COVID-19 pandemic. He said Tuesday in a video posted on Twitter that he got home Monday night to find out he was being probed once again. He listed the half dozen complaints triggering the latest investigation. I'm problematic because I called for civil disobedience in regard to the press conference that President Biden issued September 9th that he never followed up on. He pointed out that Biden has not yet ordered OSHA to write a rule requiring private companies with 100 or more employees to vaccinate their workers. So what we have is a press conference. That's a problem for me. The complaint also alleges that he's not vaccinated, but Jensen said he's been very clear about the fact that he has chosen to not be vaccinated because he has a plethora of antibodies from having recovered from COVID. He's also accused of inappropriately recommending against children wearing masks in schools. Last I checked, he said school boards are making those decisions. I have my opinions, and I'm entitled to those. He's also accused of politicizing public health. Really? What about Biden and his medical advisors? Who and those who have been caught not wearing masks either. I mean, like Fauci, how many times have you seen them without a mask? And all of a sudden they got religion, they start wearing masks? Jensen said there's 19 years of data that says masks don't do the job. He's a surgeon, folks, and, again, a candidate for governor, but his politics are different, and so he's being probed now for a fifth time for his expressing his views on this pandemic. We're going to another story from Red State. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky stopped by Fox News Sunday this past weekend with a stark message for essential workers. Get vaccinated like we tell you to, or you will very well be subjected to education and counseling. Seriously? Moreover, Walensky told her host Chris Wallace the CDC has a plan to do just that. Wallace had kicked off the interview about Walensky after about police officers, health workers, and pilots walking off the job rather than succumbing to being told that they must get vaccinated. As you know, he said, there are cases where police officers or health workers or pilots are walking off the job rather than get the vaccine. Are you still full speed ahead on mandates for essential workers to get vaccinated? Well, it seemed like she was ready for the question. She said, we have seen that those mandates are getting more and more people vaccinated. Here's what we know. The most disruptive thing that you can do to the workforce is to have a COVID outbreak in that workforce. That will most definitely not only send people home, but it will send people to the hospital, and some may pass. What we know from the police workforce is that there have been more deaths from the coronavirus over the last year and a half than all other cases of death for that workforce combined. So we believe it is very important to get those people vaccinated, she said. She then dropped the bomb, saying, quote, there is a plan should these people not want to be vaccinated toward education and counseling. What do you think about this re-education, folks? To education and counseling, to get people the information they need so they are feeling comfortable in getting vaccinated. We will re-educate you. Doesn't that sound familiar from another era? WND.com. The governor of Washington has begun a process that will result in a statewide mandate for all workers to accept the experimental COVID-19 shots in order to get a paycheck. That's right. Governor Jay Inslee in Washington has moved the agenda even forward. A report at the Post-Millennial explains under Inslee, the Washington Department of Labor and Industries has proposed an emergency package of rules addressing the emergency powers given Inslee to respond to COVID-19. This package, which is an extension of current mandates, grants the governor the ability to enforce COVID vaccine mandates on all private businesses in the state of Washington, according to elected officials. Now, those of you listening in the state of Washington, I hope your ears perked up with this, because it appears what is taking place is that the governor is getting ready or suggesting that they has the authority to order all private businesses to mandate the shot. You think that's outrageous? Let's go to the frontpagemag.com. The Religious Exemption Inquisition is the name of the story. And the writer of the story indicates that someone had forwarded to him an email called the People and Culture Department of Porter Airlines Incorporated in Toronto. The email says, further to your request for a COVID-19 vaccine, a vaccination exemption on the basis of religious conviction, this email sets out the required process. Please submit the following on or before October 22nd. Those who want, you know, to have a religious exemption, here's what they are to provide. The name of the organized religion. The physical address of the place of worship that you regularly attend. A written copy of the religion's doctrine that states the theological objection to vaccination. A signed letter from the leader of the religious congregation confirming you as a member and regular attendance to the physical place of worship. The government of Canada has confirmed that all major organized religions, Islam, Roman Catholicism, Judaism, Greek Orthodox, Mennonites, have made statements that they support COVID-19 vaccination for their members in the interest of public health. Other religions that are generally known to have theological objections to vaccinations have also released public statements indicating their support for the COVID-19 vaccine. In the event that your request for a religious exemption is denied, your COVID-19 vaccination status will be updated to, quote, I am not vaccinated for personal reasons. So much for the religious exemption. It's outrageous. I'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, in an evolutionary sense, what do the terms advanced and primitive mean?
Chris, primitive animals are thought to be those that evolved long ago, which gave rise to more and more advanced types. Single-cell organisms are the most primitive, and then marine invertebrates, and up to fish, amphibians, mammals, and eventually man, the most advanced of all. Within each mammal type, evolutionists say that the more advanced ones are the ones that are modern. But extinct varieties were hardly primitive. Chris, the whole concept of primitive advances an evolutionary idea which is wrong on the face of it. Evolution did not happen. God created each basic category, much as we see it today. None is more advanced than the other. Each is complex. And that's the way I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
Visit our website at icr.org. I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, as I mentioned at the outset of the program here today, the news roundup materials for tomorrow are so voluminous. As I started going through the stories, I saw a common theme coming through on so many of them, and the one word came to my mind being outrageous. And bringing several of these stories to you here on Crosstalk today will give you opportunity to respond. Maybe you think I'm just all wet. Maybe you're outraged with what I'm saying. But, folks, again, as I read these, I said, this is just absolutely outrageous. And here's another story, another issue. This came from CNN Politics, but it's been in news media all across this country. And it's what the State Department did just this week. Matter of fact, I think it was just yesterday where the State Department has issued the first U.S. passport with an X gender marker as it seeks to implement gender-inclusive policies, the department announced Wednesday. The department announced in June it would update its procedure to allow applicants to self-select their sex marker for passports, and there would be no longer require medical certification if an applicant's self-selected sex marker doesn't match the sex listed on their official identity documents. Now, what's different between doing that and having a vaccine passport that says I identify as being vaccinated? What's the difference, folks? The U.S. is joining Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and other countries with similar gender-inclusive passport policies. I don't identify as any gender. You know, Jesus said, haven't you heard? Haven't you known from the beginning that God created them male and female? What is this X business? We have also from the dissenter a story coming out, too, from Columbia, Missouri. Rockbridge High School football game, a biological male in a dress has once again taken the title of homecoming queen. Let's go to the Daily Signal. Another, in my opinion, outrageous story. Twitter. They flagged the tweet from Representative Jim Banks sent out on October 19th. Why? Because he called Dr. Rachel Levine, who is transgender, a man, the Daily Caller News Foundation has learned. The title, this is what he tweeted out, the title of the first female four-star officer gets taken by a man. This is a locked tweet in reference to Levine getting sworn in as a four-star admiral to the U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corps on Tuesday. The tweet was flagged as, quote, hateful conduct, and Banks' account was temporarily restricted until he deletes the tweet. Whatever happened to science? You know, science denier? We are biologically male or biologically female, and he's pointing it out that this is a biological male, and he gets locked out, and it's called hateful conduct. He was born a man as Richard Levine, transitioned in 2011, previously served as Pennsylvania's health secretary, and attracted controversy for ordering nursing homes to accept COVID-19 patients early in the pandemic, Daily Caller points out, Daily Signal. But this is hateful conduct. Hateful conduct. We will not tolerate this. And then we see how corporate America, Lord willing, will be having Peter LaBarbera on soon with the program. But I just got to point these things out as well, because we got corporate America that is just going bonkers in caving to the LGBTQ agenda. Doritos. Yeah, Doritos. Mexico. They got a commercial going in Mexico that's centered around the Day of the Dead. And in the Spanish language, they have this family approaching a grave covered with traditional offerings, plus a bowl of the snack, the Dorito chips. A girl is eating the chips in the background. But when the deceased man's sister says that she misses him, there's this ghostly version of Uncle Alberto that appears in a spooky cloud of blue vapor. Hello, family, Uncle Alberto says. How is everyone? As another man appears behind him. When asked who the newcomer is, the ghost simply says, he's Mario, my partner. The men hold hands and look into each other's eyes as the family gasps. But the sister's response is what made the short spot so popular online. She starts clapping with happiness for Uncle Alberto. What a miracle. I thought you'd be alone forever. The tagline at the end of the spot is, "It's never too late to be who you are." Doritos. Doritos. And folks, we understand also Twix is getting into this with their Halloween ad featuring a transgender child. And actually, the ad suggests violence against those who disagree with their chosen lifestyles. This is from DailyWire.com. A new Halloween-themed commercial for Twix candy bars features a cross-dressing child had social media fuming on Wednesday. In the ad, a young boy in a princess dress opens his front door to find a mysterious new nanny, a goth-looking witch, on his doorsteps. With some neighborhood girls question why the boy is wearing a costume when it isn't Halloween yet, he looks sad. Immediately after, the pair visit a park where a bigger boy asks the cross-dressing child why he's dressed like a girl. When the boy answers, "Dressing like this makes me feel good," the bully responds that he and his nanny look weird. Well, at that point, in a sequence that suggests violence against minors is a reasonable response to having a different point of view over transgender ideology, the nanny uses her magic power to call up a windstorm to blow the bigger boy away, the implications that he may be gone forever. At no point, the article points out, does the ad show or mention a Twix candy bar. And yet, this is a Twix commercial? Outrageous? Let's go to another issue. This coming to us from the Illinois Family Institute. Tuesday afternoon, the Illinois Senate Executive Committee, that is, heard testimony on HB 370, legislation to repeal Parental Notice of Abortion Act. Parental notice. A few hours later, it was sent to the Illinois Senate floor, debated, passed by a vote of 32 to 22, five senators not voting, now being sent to the House for consideration. Parents, you should not be notified that your child is choosing to go kill the child that's in their womb. You should not be notified of this. Oh, we'll hold you accountable for other actions of your child, but if they want to kill the baby in the womb, you don't even deserve to be notified. Let's go to another issue here from WND.com. An Islamic activist turned from radical scholar and cleric to radical politician says he wants beheading for anyone he thinks has insulted Islam, Muhammad, Allah, or the Quran. Now, folks, think of this in the tone we're told today that Islam is a religion of peace, okay? A video of his threats were uncovered and linked by Jihad Watch. It is a Muslim activist, Abbas Siddiqui, who once hit the headlines for praying for the spread of coronavirus in India, whose comments were captured. But in the video that recently surfaced online, he can be seen making a provocative speech in the Bengali language to his followers. The video has gone viral. It's reportedly from an Islamic religious gathering that was held Friday, September 15th, the report explained. If anyone believes that one has the ability to insult the Quran, to criticize Islam, or to disparage the Prophet, then I, Abbas Siddiqui, declare that I, too, have the liberty to sever your head from your body, he said in what is essentially was a rant. Among other wild statements, he claimed the whole world is conspiring against Islam and such hatred is being promoted by Israel. It's outrageous. And folks, especially when you think of it in light of this next story from World Israel News, a Somali man killed three women while shouting Allahu Akbar. Now, what does that mean? Now, oftentimes the media will translate it saying God is great or God is big. That's not what it means. It means Allah is greater. Allah is bigger. Allah is bigger than Jehovah. Allah is greater than Jehovah. Allah is greater or bigger than any other God. Well, a Somali man who killed three women while shouting Allahu Akbar during a knife-wielding rampage was found to not be responsible for his crimes by a German court. In June of 2021, Abdriaman Jibral, I got that messed up, but nonetheless, it's AJA, we'll call him, whose last name is being withheld from media publication. Well, they gave him that name anyways. In line with German privacy laws, stole a knife from a department store in downtown Würzburg and began stabbing people in an unprovoked attack. In addition to stabbing to death three women in the store, he injured another five women along with a child on the street outside. But despite multiple witnesses hearing the man shout Allahu Akbar before the attack, German authorities said there was no Islamist motive behind the murders. Because of the man's cell phone and computer did not have extremist material on it, the police said there was no basis to call the event a terror attack. And he has been held in a psychiatric hospital in Bavaria, although doctors told the court that he is benefiting from a cocktail of medications that has restored him to sanity. Just 3 months after the incident, they said the man could not be legally responsible for his actions on the day of the killings. And yet you have many witnesses coming forth yelling or indicating that he was calling out Allahu Akbar. Isn't that the same phraseology that we've been hearing in all these Islamic attacks around the world? WesternJournal.com, another story that, in my opinion, is outrageous. Rhode Island is nearing the start of a pilot plan to give drug users a legal place to come and use their illegal drugs. The two-year pilot is a first for any state, the Wall Street Journal reported. Rhode Island hopes to finish creating the rules for the sites in January and determine where the sites will be located in March. Legislators who support the project say the time is right. Quote, "The opioid epidemic has become a tremendous public health crisis with overdoses of prescription and non-prescription opioids claiming a record number of lives." This is the Democratic Representative John Edwards. "Not only do harm reduction centers," don't you love that fancy name, "harm reduction centers, severely mitigate the chance of overdose, they are a gateway to treatment and rehabilitation of people with substance abuse disorder. Those locations will be under the supervision of trained medical staff who can direct addicts toward substance use disorder treatment as a way to tackle this epidemic while saving lives in the process. They would be screened when they go in. They talk to them. If they want, they could have their drugs tested for the quantity of fentanyl in them. It's in everything. And they could go to a place in the facility. They can inject their drugs or however they want to use them. And they're monitored. They stay there until they can get up and walk out on their own." That's what he said, according to public radio. The use of illegal drugs, not really a crime. Folks, in my estimation, again, that's outrageous. Here's another outrageous story from the Christian Post about D.C. police officers said they were ordered to get abortions or be fired. Two female police officers with the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Department have revealed that when they were cadets, their superiors ordered them to terminate their pregnancies. Chanel Dickerson, assistant chief of the MPD Youth and Family Engagement Bureau, explained at a recent community gathering at Unity Baptist Church of D.C., saying, "When I was 18 years old, as a police cadet, I was told I had to have an abortion or be fired from the MPD cadet program." Dickerson's ultimatum was not a unique phenomena. A day after publishing the report about Dickerson, Fox 5 broadcast an interview with Karen Arikpo, a police officer who alleged that abortion was painted as a mandatory course of action for pregnant police cadets. Recalled a female sergeant in the police academy telling the cadets, "If we were pregnant, we need to get an abortion or we would be fired." Arikpo, who graduated from Dickerson from the police academy in 1997, said the consequences of her abortion still haunt her to this day, saying, "I've never been able to have a kid." Maintained that if she could go back in time, she would have quit the police academy and had the baby. "I did this for a job, and then to want kids and can't have them, how do you tell people that?" She is one of 10 African-American female police officers who joined a class action lawsuit filed last month against the MPD, which accuses the department of engaging in discrimination on the basis of race and gender. Kill the baby in your womb or you will be fired. Folks, in my book, that is outrageous. I'm opening our phone lines. If you'd like to comment on these stories here today, our number 800-733-9829.
Nearly every common behavioral problem is considered to be a disease in American culture today. Gambling, overeating, and certainly drugs and alcohol. But God's Word lovingly tells us the truth about the very heart of addiction. Yet the Bible is a neglected resource for those who suffer from these so-called addictions. One of the reasons for this is that people choose to believe the theories and ideas of mankind that the disease renders them powerless to overcome the problem. However, a Christian is not powerless and has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to say no to choices that will mentally enslave them. In the book, The Heart of Addiction, biblical counselor Mark Shaw confronts these life-dominating sins and provides biblical tools to help us examine our heart's motives at the root of addiction and how to obtain victory. The Heart of Addiction is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. I'm finding just outrage in so many of these issues that are taking place across the nation. A week ago, I did a program on pushback, and folks, indeed, these issues need to be pushed back on across the nation. I find it very interesting as well. It's being reported that another large migrant caravan is heading toward the United States and coming from El Salvador. And the interview with one of them said, "Tell Biden we are coming." A large caravan. It is reported that mostly comprised of Central and South Americans is around 5,000 people who left the southern Mexican state on Saturday. And National Guard attempted to stop the caravan after it shortly left the city, but failed as a mass of people push the soldiers aside. Tell Biden we are coming. Now, we know what the President Biden has done. He has stopped the building of the wall. We've got steel that is rusting away, laying on the ground, paying out millions of dollars have been paid out to stop the work from happening, have to still honor the contracts. But what's happening from President Biden? The Department of Homeland Security is paying over $455,000 to build security fencing around Biden's beach home. Now, I thought fencing didn't work, but indeed, the New York Post is reporting that the southern border of Mexico is seeing the highest levels of illegal border crossings in 35 years. In September of this year, the department awarded a contract of over $456,000 to Turnstone Holdings LLC for the purchase and installation of security fencing around Biden's beach home. Do you find that outrageous? Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Greg in Tucson, Arizona, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you very much for the outrageous part. When you invite God to leave, you take truth with it, and you get the outrageous. I'd like to just talk a little about the LGBT agenda, the assault on school children. I'm a former canceled teacher from Massachusetts. And I'm here in Tucson, and I've been trying to press Republican candidates to address the issue, to face the assault on children in their platforms. I mean, they're announcing they're running for state office and national office like Senate and governor, this Carrie Lake. And they're avoiding this issue like the plague, the LGBT agenda. They'll talk about immigration, taxation, any number of things, but I'll tell you why I think the reason that there is this conspiracy of silence about the assault on children, because in the Republican Party here in Arizona, they've embraced log cabin Republicans. Yeah. There's even a new party that was started called Arizona New Party that purports itself to be more conservative than the regular Republicans. Same thing. They've got their arms around the log cabin Republicans, and that's a poison. And I've asked them to, you know, discredit those and distance themselves from them, and I get no answer. I get crickets.
Yeah.
And it's really disappointing that these are Republicans.
Thank you for raising that, Greg. And yeah, there are many who say, yes, I'm pro-family, I'm pro-marriage, I'm pro this, pro that, and yet they run into the very things that you're talking about here. And we need to recognize, I mean, to deny science like they're doing, we're created male or female. And
they have these drag queen story hours.
Yep.
Have you ever heard of the group called the Mass Resistance, run by Brian Kammacher?
Yes, he has been interviewed here in Crosstalk.
Yeah, I was one of the maybe handful of people at the startup of the Mass Resistance. Brian, who was an Orthodox Jew, he was the smart guy. He was the leader, and I was just one of his troopers. And he's international, and he's strong at exposing all these lies. And the children are being—they're being assaulted.
Yeah,
they're being smothered in this stuff here in Tucson, and the Republican Party pretends it's not happening, and it is so—it's beyond disappointing.
Greg,
it's outrageous, to use your word.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Appreciate the call. Our number is 800-733-9829. Appleton, Wisconsin. John, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's actually Jeff, but yeah, just a couple of thoughts. I don't know if outrageous is strong enough. I would say insane would be a little more appropriate. I believe that the people that, if they're supposed to be representing us, they're supposed to be our representatives, their consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Their minds are debased.
Yeah.
They're doing those things that are not worthy. And then I think in Romans 1, where it says God gave them up, then God gave them over
yep.
to do those things that are not right. And so how we're being represented is very strange. It's very poor. We're not being represented. And to force people to get vaccinated, to force people to say you're fired, or unless you have an abortion, you're fired.
Yeah.
So things are, God is judging this nation. So, and then the perfect one is Biden paying $500,000 to put a fence around his property
yeah.
when he's tearing down the Trump's wall to Mexico. So it's hello.
Yeah.
So it's pretty crazy, Jim. I appreciate you. I pray the Lord just continues to strengthen you and give you peace. Because getting this news is a drain. It's challenging. So I pray the Lord just upholds you, Jim, with his mighty right hand.
God bless you, John. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. God bless you.
Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Let's go next to Lubbock, Texas. Toledo, you're on the air.
Thank you. My heart is cold. I'm from the WOM, Women on Mission, and I am... sad of all, we do not talk about Haiti. It's been silenced. The president's been silenced. The news has been silenced. It's just not talked about. And I think it's my heart is sad because the Lord knows it is a sad thing to happen. And I'm afraid that we're getting cold.
Yeah, yeah. Again, we've got 17 missionaries being held in Haiti at this time, and some of these are children, even young children that are part of this. And this is a Christian Aid Ministries, the organization calling for prayer, and many are asking, what is the State Department doing in this, and what efforts are they being made to obtain the release of these 16 Americans and one Canadian taken hostage.
Yes, and we don't want to get cold about it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Dave is next in Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Dave.
I hope everybody's well. God bless everyone. This is truly the devil's work. It's insane, and there's like 8 reasons I got why. It's against my religion. It's a free country and my choice. It's my body, my right, and it's no different than rape, forcing someone to do it. It's not a law. It's a mandate, optional.
Yeah.
It's not FDA approved. And if you're a child, it's called child abuse. And number 8, it's against my civil and human rights.
Thank you, Dave, for sharing those. Lord willing, next week we're going to be having Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valit on Crosstalk here and going to be addressing this again from a medical perspective and the concerns that she has in regard to the mandates that are going on here. Thank you for the call.
I don't know if anybody's interested in how not to get COVID, but there's a lady named Ann Bernhardt with a D spelled before the T, and she has a podcast that maybe everybody should listen to.
Thank you for that, Dave, and I would suggest individuals do go to, we've interviewed Matt Staver several times from libertycouncillc.org, and you can do /vaccines, and you'll find tons and tons and tons of information there. Thank you for the call. Tim is calling from Missouri. Tim, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that last I knew, Congress worked for the public, and lately they don't work for the public no more. They work for their own agendas. All I can say is it'll be really, really nice in heaven without all these people there, because I don't think half of them are going to make it.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts here today, Tim. Appreciate your call. Crosstalk here today, VCY America, that's 800-733-9829 to Spokane, Washington. Dave, you're on the air. Dana, rather.
It's actually Dana, yes. I just wanted to know, I caught what you said earlier, and it is all news to us here. We have not heard that. Would you mind repeating again what you said earlier about the state of Washington and the governor and he filed with the LNI to have all employers in the state of Washington mandate the so-called vaccine?
So the story is found on WND.com. And the governor takes over state's private businesses, mandates vaccines for all. Here's a story. The governor of Washington begun a process that could result in a statewide mandate for all workers to accept the experimental shot in order to be able to get a paycheck. This is Governor Inslee has moved the agenda further, and a report in the Post-Millennial explains under him, the Washington Department of Labor and Industries has proposed, it's a proposal at this point, an emergency package of rules addressing the emergency powers given to Inslee to respond to COVID-19. The package, an extension of current mandates, grants Inslee the ability to enforce COVID vaccine mandates on all private businesses in the state of Washington, according to elected officials. It was a statement from Republican Jim Walsh and Jesse Young of the legislature that revealed the actions. I would think if you contact Representative Walsh or Young's office or check out the story on WND.com, you'll give you more information on that for Washington State.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it here today. Okay, let's go next to, we've got Dan next in Waukesha, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Dan.
Hey, yeah. There was a news story down in Tennessee about like a man parade in a high school. And they did like, students were doing dances for teachers and stuff like that. I don't know if you have heard that yet.
Well, I covered the story the other day here about, and I think it was last Friday, about the home football game.
This was a different one.
Okay, this was a halftime program in which they dressed in drag, teachers and students dressed in drag during the halftime show.
This was also a different high school.
No, I had not heard that one.
Yes, and it was inside a gym and stuff like that. Mm. So it was very disturbing.
Yeah.
Even worse than the last one.
And you're saying, what city was that in?
I think it was Memphis, Tennessee, but I think it was in Tennessee, maybe Kentucky.
Okay. Well, if you get more information, let us know. Send us a link. Thank you, Dan.
Will do.
Appreciate it very much. We're just seconds from the break, so I'll pick up some more calls right after the break. But here we have also a story that came out from KATU.com. KATU, Portland City, Portland, Oregon. A decision by Portland city leaders is drawing attention from across the country. Portland now is the first to offer bereavement leave for employees after they've had an abortion. Kill your baby in the womb, we'll give you time off for bereavement. Outrageous. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Israel has jumped in aggressively with the vaccine. They've also jumped in aggressively with green passports. Many believe, as do I, that all of this technology and all of this tracking, and as the Prime Minister of New Zealand has said, the setting up literally of two classes, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, is preparing the way for a global system led by the Antichrist, where no one will be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark. Please note, I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast. It is laying the foundation for it. And it does indeed appear as though Israel's leading the way. But should we be shocked? No, because they will eventually enter into a peace accord with the Antichrist for 3.5 years. Do not let what the Jews are doing cause you to believe or support the idea of anti-Semitism. Jews sin, Christians sin, Gentiles sin. God will use this sin to bring them to repentance.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our program today is titled Outrageous. Again, as we were gathering so many news stories for our news roundup tomorrow, saw a common theme through so many different issues here. We've got a lot more stories we'll be sharing tomorrow, Lord willing, but just had to bring these to your attention. And I know we're not going to get through everything tomorrow, and I don't want this to just fall by the wayside. Let's go to Cookeville, Tennessee. We have Steve calling. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. What's outrageous is what's going on in this country right now, and the elected are the employees, taxpayers are the employers. Hmm. And it's time for the employer, the taxpayers to demand a governor to withhold 100% of our tax dollars until items are being fixed. The second thing is Christians. We are not united. We're too divided. If we were united, we are bigger than either political party. We've got to make our mind up what is more important, our Christianity or our political parties.
Well, our Christianity is more important.
It's time for us to stand up and demand accountability.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve, for that. And indeed, our relationship before God is most important. John in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes. What I wanted to say is about two things. The police up there in Wisconsin with that father would have taped the mask on, and the school would have found out about it. They would have said child abuse. Yeah. Now, why? And the cops would have been there right away. So why doesn't it work the other way around? He should have filed child abuse charges against them.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Number two is it's nice that everybody's starting to get on the bandwagon and all concerned about this stuff. But what happened during the 60s and 70s when John Birch Society was forecasting a lot of this stuff, and people just said, oh, it'll never happen. It'll never happen.
Yep.
Now, we're to the point now, we're past the pendulum, and we're too late. Unless all heck breaks loose, all this stuff is going to go through no matter what.
Thank you, John. Appreciate raising those issues. And, we've talked often with Alex Newman and certainly Tom DeWeese, who has been blowing the whistle for years and years and years. They've been told that you're just conspiracy theorists, you're just wearing tinfoil hats. Well, the issues, as somebody said, I need some more conspiracy theories because everything else I declared before has come true. So,
my father was an elected official. He served 10 terms, and he was involved in politics for 50 years. And he was forecasting this stuff and telling people back in the 60s and 70s, the same stuff that was happening now. And people just didn't believe nothing.
John, thanks for calling today. We're going to go to a fellow Kentuckian in Paducah, Kentucky. Vince, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. First, I do appreciate you bringing all of these things to our attention. And secondly, there are so many things that we could comment on, but it's just outrageous, absolutely outrageous, the things that you have brought to our attention. And even though I am not a supporter of them, and I don't care for their policies at all, but I wonder, where is the ACLU in all of these things?
Yeah.
The American Civil Liberties Union? They ought to be jumping on these items like a duck on a June bug. Hmm. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Vince. Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. First of all, our medical records are private, or at least they're supposed to be. That's what they keep telling us with HIPAA. That other caller you had a few callers ago had put down a lot of good reasons for not taking that kill shot. But there's also, in Wisconsin, we've also got those three reasons, the religious, philosophical, and medical. Mm-hmm. Medical being, hey, I don't want to die yet. But we've also got this. No. They tell us to do it, you say no. If they tell you to blow your brains out, you'd say no. So what's the difference? Mm-hmm. In the U.S., we the people are Caesar. These people are our servants who represent us, so to speak. They're not our masters. Jesus Christ is the master. Mm-hmm. Our servants are rebels right now, and so they don't have credibility anymore. Years ago, Nancy Reagan just said just say no with regard to drugs.
Right.
Well, just say no now, too. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now for drugs. Come on in. We're going to give you a safe place to shoot your drugs. Jerry, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to say, as far as the caller called about the lap dance, I just wanted to concur with him, and I can't remember which school it was either, but I'm a pretty open-minded, objective man. I am a Christian, but I try and keep an open mind and not judge. But I was even taken aback by it. It really was shocking to see high school kids behaving like that, and, of course, teachers and administrators.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Okay, Jerry's gone, but we do need to judge. There is a right and there is a wrong. Let's go to Livingston, Tennessee, and Linda, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Yes, that school was in Hazard, Kentucky.
Hazard, Kentucky?
Yes,
okay.
And it is just, it's totally disgusting. I mean, I couldn't watch it all. That the teachers and the principal would actually sit there and go along with that. It's just it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Thank you, Linda, for that report there. We're going to Melanie in Tennessee. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I was just wanting to make sure that people knew there are states in this country that have laws against coercion of having abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So my heart is just broken for those who have been made to get an abortion or keep their job.
Yeah. Yeah, very troubling indeed. Thank you for sharing your thoughts here, Melanie. Friends, we're out of time here today on Crosstalk, and again, I called the program outrageous, and just reminded me again of the importance for believers in Christ to spread the good news of the gospel in such a time as this. This world is a dark place. As we've stated before, that the darker the night, the brighter the light shines, and I trust you're letting your light shine with the gospel message to a world that is desperately in need of the life-transforming power of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we do encourage you to be light and to be salt, standing up when issues like this certainly happen, and to have that preservative impact like salt has as well. Our time is gone. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Please keep our team in your prayers. That is so very much appreciated as well. Thanks for listening.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.